the Landing Strip is the 321st edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in, joining us live. I know we were a little bit late, but you saw us sitting here eating while we were watching Matt Riddle versus Drew Gulak. So, yeah, we didn't have the mic on, but you had the camera on.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that you can see my reaction, you fucking voyeur.
A lot of times we'd like to see each other's reactions to shit just to see if it's over. Yeah. Like if the match was pretty
good. That was a good ass match.
Yeah. So we're getting right into it.
That was a good ass
match. So let's backpedal a little bit.
All right.
Why was Gulak there?
He basically said he wants to clean up 205.
Yeah.
Or clean up NXT the way he cleaned up 205.
So what was his first chore?
Took on some new debuting enhancement talent who has a fucking awful,
what?
But awfully gorgeous gimmick.
I found you. Here's about it.
Oh, you found mine?
Okay. 5-hour rule.
I see. Yeah, like it's terrible in such a good way. It's a terrible ass, stupid fucking gimmick, but it works. So,
who is this guy you're talking about?
Yeah, what's his name?
Mr. Mugenhagen.
Mugenhagen?
Mugenhagen.
Not Brugenhagen.
No. Mugenhagen.
Mugenhagen.
Mugenhagen. I will rock!
Mugenhagen. He has a gimmick of 80s rock star, air guitarist, air pianist, air
drummer.
Keyboardist. Yeah. Drummer. Air singer. It was silly. It was funny. I loved it. but yeah, he got over in that one little debut match and Gulak put the hurting on him, tapped him out. And Gulak was like, hey, the fuck? Why, you know, I come over here, this is what you give me? And he issues open challenge. Bruh.
You give me Ben Stiller from Dodgeball.
That was hilarious.
You forget, because we've been oblivious to 205, which we'll get to in a bit, by the way.
Yep.
Gulak had a fucking personality on the way out of our viewing door.
Yeah. Very true. I think everybody was sleeping a little bit on Gulak. I really like Gulak.
So he wanted more competition, and he got it. What'd you think of the match? Drew Gulak versus Matt Riddle.
This is my match of the week
pick. What the fuck? Wow, that's that. God damn it, Chris.
God damn it, motherfucker. Chris. You motherfucker.
Every week. Oh, you got your lock. Let me fuck you up for a minute.
Well, I didn't have a lock this week, but I had a dark horse and a front runner and all that, but I was undecided. That match right there? Oh, that's my match of the week pick. One thing that I really liked about it is how technical it was and how amateur wrestling-y it was at the beginning. Like, they were body on body. They were body on body.
Happy Valentine's Day.
For like the first 5 fucking minutes of the match, and they didn't actually get space in between the two of them. They were just countering, exchanging holds, going to a different part of the body, you know, trying to get a pin, trying to get a tap out, they were just rolling around in fucking brilliance. And for somebody that likes chain wrestling, shit, that was amazing.
If you have flashbacks of Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit from the 2000s, 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
You have flashbacks of this in that match. You'll want more. What you got when you finish watching Angle Benoit.
I want more.
I do want more. Also.
I want more. Finally, when space was created, it seemed as though it was Riddle creating the space to deliver high impact strikes. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like the senton, the little running back senton splash thing. And those are all pretty good. That's what. God damn.
Gulak's modified Rings of Saturn that he had at one point.
Where he had the arms back, but then he started doing the joint manipulation, mm-hmm. which everybody is stealing from Pete Dunne nowadays. Yeah. But the Rings of Saturn plus joint manipulation on the hands.
That was good.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
That's your pick.
That's my pick.
Wow.
That's my pick.
Interesting. God damn it, Chris.
God damn it, Chris. That was my pick.
Match of the week candidate for sure. It was one of my dark horses for my pick, and it might still be. Jeez. Other than that, I don't think there was anything from NXT, positive or negative, that like grabbed my attention.
All right.
I know next week we have or tonight's episode that we're not watching right now because we're obviously on the air.
Right.
Ricochet versus Adam Cole. Baby. Another one for the record books. Can't wait to see that. Did you get to watch anything from the other side of the UK pond, of the NXT pond?
Nope.
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 Dang.
Nope. Why?
Mandrews and their British-Mexican, their British luchador, Liguero, put on a nice little high-flyer clinic. Felt good. Liguero's been on a streak. One that he won against Mandrews also. So they,
does Liguero mean something?
That's a good question. Okay. I'll find that out for you.
Liguero.
Unless somebody in there gets it for you first.
Yeah.
And then if you didn't get enough last week,
yeah,
Walter had another match.
Walter.
Against Matt Coffey. Mark right. Coffey, I'm sorry. And Walter beat the ever-loving fuck out of that guy. And he's a big bitch. You know, the Coffey brothers, they're stout. They got a lot of meat on the on those bones. And Walter laid a whooping. That wasn't sports entertainment. That was like stiff, old, catch-as-catch-can. Like, you were hearing those shots.
All right.
It was pretty. Let's see. I teased you last week.
Hi.
in the spirit. A former champion was going to return at the Impact Show WrestleMania weekend.
All right.
They announced the main event.
Uh-huh.
The Lucha Brothers.
Uh-huh.
Teaming up against Sabu and Rob Van Dam.
God damn. I mean, all right, I guess. I don't know. I like Sabu. I like Rob Van Dam in the day, just like how everybody else did. I don't know if I want to see Sabu now. I don't know if I want to see Sabu now. Rob Van Dam, maybe. Sabu, hang him up.
I think it's a given for me about not wanting to see Sabu, which is why I didn't really mention
What's
it.
What's up, James? Not Robert. We figured that out.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Well, we figured it out that Robert Drabb is actually James Whitney. Mm-hmm. I believe this is his last name.
I don't know if he wanted that out there.
Yeah, I don't know if he wanted that out there either. But the next part of that mystery is, why the wrong name, bro? Like,
you have a pass too, huh? I got you, man. I got you.
All right. I don't know. It's just a completely different name. Like, it's not even close.
The Sabu?
It's not even close.
The Sabu is a given?
It's like saying that you're Rob Van Dam, but, like, signed in as Sabu. What the fuck? Not even close.
The last couple of times I've seen RVD in the ring, it was a little rusty, man. And a guy with RVD's movesets, I'd be very worried. I'd be very trepidatious about getting in the ring with a guy that can probably hurt fuck you up pretty bad if he messes up a spot.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Then again, if you multiply that by 10, that's not
Look at his body. Look at all the scars. Those aren't tattoos, folks.
There was a match I wanted to show you.
Right.
But unfortunately, somebody did to me what I do unto others. Where the fuck is Hector? I knew the outcome the morning after it happened. I hadn't watched the match. Huh,
stage name, because he has his own YouTube show.
There we go.
We should watch your show one day.
Yeah. Didn't spoil you on anything.
So I didn't
even watch it.
Right.
I was waiting so we could watch it blind together.
Right.
Not fucking Hector Reyes, one
fucking
of our listeners.
Hector. Pincha Hector.
Who's like started his own HWR chat with us. Like, it's the third man. It's the third man. And
I see Arnold's not around. By the way, hold on. Pause. By the way, Arnold, congratulations.
Yay!
New baby brought into the world successfully. Healthy,
priorities. You still went. Home. Priorities. You still went to the Thrice concert. I'm proud of you.
He did. He did go to the Thrice concert day after his wife gave birth. Went to the Thrice concert. That's awesome. But yeah, Arnold, beautiful baby boy that you have there. Can't wait to see if I could meet him myself one day. That'd be awesome.
Just not here. Cockpit
right.
is not baby not friendly.
No.
Mm-mm.
No. No. No.
Electrical sockets everywhere.
Yeah.
One of them over there.
Oh, Bianca's here.
What the hell?
Yeah, Bianca's. Wait, it says Blanca Rodriguez. Wait, what? Oh, Blanca Rodriguez. I read it as Bianca Ramirez. And all I saw was I'm his wife. But no, this lady is Hector's wife. Hector, the
Hector,
spoiler.
Hector Reyes' wife?
Hector, the one that fucking
number
spoiled
one,
us.
I'm sorry that you're married to him. I'm number before. Two, do us a favor tomorrow on Valentine's Day and give him what he deserves.
Which is?
That involves his genital area.
Oh.
And hit him very hard.
Oh. Wait. Dingy. All right. One, two, three. There you go.
Like that. Yeah. I seen that.
It's cool, guys. Yeah, I just misread your name. I was thinking about the wrong wife.
Switchblade Jay White is the new IWGP World Heavyweight Campione. He beat Hiroshi Tanahashi at the last night of the New Beginnings tour in Japan.
That's disgusting.
Really? Oh, you haven't really made up a huge fan of it. Oh,
Jay White?
Yeah.
Jay White? Mm-hmm. Switchblade?
The new leader of the Bullet Club.
Baby Corbin? Jay White?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Wow. Turn it around like it's his fucking place. Welcome back,
that,
my man.
That stunt was just for effect.
Yes. It's going to sound awesome on the podcast.
Yeah, I know, right? You're not going to hear anything.
I'm going to add the bass to it. No, that's March 14th for you. Okay, so you got a month. Tomorrow's about her. It makes sense in the sense that if you wanted him to get the most heat, you have to have him go over the guy that the babiest of the faces right now. And right now, after the whole run of being stretchered out by Jay White before the G1, him coming back and winning the tournament, actually beating Omega for the title. Right now, Hiroshi Tanahashi is the number one babyface in New Japan. So to try to get Jay White over as a heel, you have him go over on Tanahashi, especially since the people in the Bullet Club that you really want to see aren't going to be in NJPW for a while. That's your next – I mean, come on. This happened with Finn. This happened with AJ. This happened with Kenny. Took a while with Kenny. And now,
you know what Jay White. The difference is between Finn, AJ, and Kenny? They were over before they got the fucking belt. Mm-hmm. Their overness forced New Japan's hand to put the title on him. Mm-hmm. Whereas this seems like a WWE move where it's like, we want to get this guy over. We want him to be the new guy. We want you to like him. So we're telling you, hey, like this guy because he's the champion. Like, no, New Japan has always been a little bit more old school about that. If you're over, you get the belt, but you have to be fucking over, goddammit. And it's hard. It's hard to get over in New Japan if you're not Japanese. But those three other guys, they did it. They got over, and they're, oh, okay, cool, yeah. Respect, here, have the title. But this motherfucker right here, this motherfucker right here, like, he's not over. He's not over. He put the title onto him?
So I'll tell you what we'll do.
Bad move, New Japan.
I'll tell you what we'll do. Next week, before we go on the air, we're not going to watch the match because the bloom's already off the rose. We'll watch the reaction to the title change. And then we'll watch the first defense of Jay White and see how the crowd's reacting. And see if we are the minority because we're on the other side of the pond. And if the Japanese, because Jay White was getting over as a face before he did the whole Switchblade gimmick, he might be over as the Switchblade gimmick over there to them, to their majority.
I mean, okay, maybe. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. That's a bit of a question mark. I'm not Japanese. I don't live in Japan. I don't see firsthand what the Japanese market looks like and reacts to Jay White. But what I can tell you.
You don't like him.
Is that they motherfuckers running up into Hot Topic buying Switchblade Jay White shirts the way they wear Kenny, the way they wear the Bucks, the way they wear Cody, the way they wear AJ. They ain't doing that shit.
Probably because there's not any in there.
He beat Omega, then Okada, then Ace Tanahashi. Clean. They're going to bring it back to Yeah, okay, great. Hector, I get it. I get what the story is. I'm saying the story is fucking bunk. Like, this is bullshit. This is not over.
How about the Belden equivalent?
The Belden.
Yeah.
Okay. My what man, if, Travis.
What if this is to put over the next generation? The rivalry that Jay White had as the U.S. champ before he lost the belt and came into the main event picture was against another American dude that's been over, and you've been hearing the reactions to this guy, Juice Robinson. He was the guy main eventing the shows here in the U.S. when the Japanese couldn't get their visas because of the government shutdown. What if this builds up to Jay White dropping the belt or starting a rivalry on the main event stage with a guy like Juice? Will that wash out a little bit of that taste out of your mouth?
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, you want to talk about washing out the taste of my mouth, right?
Or would you rather give it back to Tanahashi?
Definitely not. Because I thought Tanahashi was the wrong guy to start with, mm-hmm. okay? But agreed. I get it. He's their Cena. All right, agreed. Fine. But this kind of feels like to me that they took the title off of Punk to put it onto Cena to have Cena just lose randomly to fucking, I don't know, Kofi.
Like, oh, come on. Why Kofi of all
people? Okay, not Kofi. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to stick with what I said before.
Okay.
Corbin.
Okay.
Like, they just stick it on Corbin. Like, fucking charisma vacuum, but probably a good hand, needs a little bit more time, and it needs a little bit more, I don't know,
season.
Aesthetic. Like, the aesthetic is not there with this dude. Mm. And, like,
I got you.
I don't know, man. Like,
is there anything in the chat room before we go on to the next?
No, Hector just like marking out over here over Jay White. Like, I mean, he's not marking out. He says Jay White said it'll be his last year. Like, okay, yeah, that's his story. People, I don't give a fuck about. Like, oh yeah, but Baron Corbin's story is that he used to be a Raw general manager, and now he's like, I don't give a fuck what his story is. He sucks.
All right, so let's talk about the catalyst then. The reason that we're in this situation in New Japan is because all of a sudden the Bucks and Cody and Kenny decided to have their own promotion.
Right.
AEW, officially, yep. their yep. first show.
Yep.
Double or Nothing.
Double or Nothing.
The pre-sale.
Yep.
Sold out in 30 minutes.
Yep.
Your boy got his pair. That happened on Monday.
Of course he did.
Today.
How much semen did you sell?
Not enough, apparently. The original on sale today sold out in 4 minutes.
Okay.
13,000 seats. Right. On par with, if you take out the events in Saudi, if you focus just on pay-per-views here in the United States, other than WrestleMania and other stadium shows around the world, that is on par with the attendance of some of the last 6 or 7 WWE pay-per-views that they've had. 13,000, 14,000 seats is a lot more than a lot of the house shows that they're running every week. Then again, it is a special event. This is their first actual right. event.
As AEW.
As AEW.
Yeah.
All 50 states are accounted for, plus Puerto Rico and D.C. They okay. sold tickets besides the U.S. to Canada, U.K., Australia, Costa Rica, Finland, Germany, Panama, and Austria.
That one dude in Austria is marking the fuck out. They mentioned me on Houston Wrestling Radio.
First,
I don't think that was an Austrian accent.
No, it's not at all. The first wrestling event ever in Las Vegas that it sold out the day the tickets went on sale. And that's counting WCW, that's counting WWE, that's counting anything else, okay. even GLOW that happened before them.
Okay.
This is the first time ever. So just as a refresher, this is what everyone's gonna see.
Okay.
Omega Jericho 2.
Okay.
Pack. Adrian Neville,
right.
against Hangman Page.
Okay.
The Young Bucks against the Lucha Brothers.
All right.
Cody Rhodes against a mystery opponent.
Okay.
Britt Baker, Kylie Rae, and Nyla Rose. Focus on her.
Oh.
Nyla Rose, first ever trans woman to sign with a major wrestling promotion.
All right, cool.
Team AEW against the Oriental Entertainment Wrestling. So it's going to be SoCal Uncensored against SEMA and two other guys from the promotion in China.
Ooh.
Exactly. I'm scratching my head too.
Right.
And then we have possibly Asia Kong versus Yuka Sakazaki.
Ooh.
I just rolled that off my mouth like I'm like half Japanese. Asia Kong against Yuka Sakazaki. Sakazaki.
Sakazaki.
Sakazaki.
Sakazaki.
Hi. Arigato. Aitamasu. Sakazaki.
Yes.
Machi machi. Yeah. So right now, and there's still Sammy Guevara. There's still best friends. There's still a couple of other people that have been announced. They had the ticket party on Thursday, which that's a strike one for AEW, by the way, for all the marketing out that I've been doing the last couple of months.
Why is it strike one?
Because there's no way that you can have a ticket announcement party and not tell us how much the fucking tickets are. I did not know until I didn't know until the morning that I was buying the pre-sale tickets. I didn't know what these tickets were. And I already had a price range in mind. Me and Scott, we had a price range in mind of how much we were going to spend. Because we're still not even done finalizing our WrestleMania plans.
Right, yeah.
I'm still looking, more importantly, for the prices that they had listed on there, which I don't blame them. I would rather make that money than have that money get lost in the secondary market with scalpers and stuff. You know, because they had $200, $150. They had fucking pay-per-view price, WWE pay-per-view prices for this shit.
Oh, yeah.
I would spend that kind of money for the G1 kickoff happening in Dallas in July.
Okay.
That's what I would spend that money on. Not necessarily for this show. But yeah, that's the first strike for me that I could think of.
Michael, welcome.
Yo!
Thank you for joining us in the live chat. Hector says AEW attendance will beat Elimination Chamber here in Houston, LOL. Yeah, probably.
I'm worried about that, man.
Yeah. Michael says New Japan looking at WWE like, damn, man, to think we made a controversial decision.
Yeah,
a little bit. Is that it as far as what you have for non-WWE stuff?
Unless you have something.
I have something non-WWE.
Go for it.
My Dark Horse match of the week candidate, not pick anymore.
Impact?
Is from WOW. Welcome back, Dick.
Not only did you trash the promotion on your special edition podcast,
I did.
You reveled in the fact that WOW liked your Instagram picture, knowing that you trashed the brand.
I didn't revel in it. I felt guilty.
And now, Thanos, you ready to snap your finger?
Well, I'm not snapping my finger.
What from WOW is your match of the week candidate?
Jungle Girl versus Tessa Blanchard versus Santana Garrett.
Oh!
Now, I wasn't a fan of the generic fucking characters. Jungle Girl being one of them, okay? I'm not a fan of the character. But what made this a possible match of the week pick and definitely match of the week candidate for me was what happened between the goddamn bells. That match was great. It was really good. A lot of high flying back and forth action. The vitriol between Tessa Blanchard and Santana Garrett was there, which should have been present because of the storyline. Jungle Girl feeling like she's left out a little bit made sense. And so she was pissed off because she's trying to get her goddamn title back. But she lost it in a triple threat, not being involved in the decision. And she thought she was going to get her one-on-one. And no, she's in another triple threat. So she's frustrated as shit. And all that emotion played into the match. And after all the bullshit, Tessa Blanchard's done messing with Santana Garrett's sick dad and like choking off his fucking air supply to his, you know, oxygen tank and all that. Like all that bullshit that she did. She wound up not only taking a pin, she wound up taking a double pin by both competitors at the same time.
So that means those two are going to have to wrestle one-on-one.
Yeah. So, okay. And that just kind of keeps on feeding into the whole thing with Jungle Girl being like, ah, kitching out, you know, like she keeps trying to win and like stupid shit keeps happening. So, all right. Santana did like a slam or something, slammed Tessa flat on the mat. Jungle Girl happened to be perched up top to do her fucking Jimmy Snuka style splash. So slam, up, splash. Tessa and Jungle Girl looked at each other like, you motherfucker. Ping! One, two, three. It was fun, man. It was a good-ass fucking match. It's the best match that I've seen so far out of the four episodes of WoW. And I liked the story going into and out of it. All my misgivings be damned about character with characters like Eye Candy and Jungle Girl and Azteca and generic-ass shit. All that be damned. In this particular match, everything was great.
Alright.
It would have been my pick if it wasn't for the other shit you showed me today.
Jungle Girl, that thing sounds familiar.
Why?
Sounds a lot about the same kind of bullshit that's going on with Becky Lynch. Monday. I don't know what the hell happened on Monday.
Robert Medlin agrees with me. He says that's a pick for him too.
Okay. Monday. Becky saw her doctor, but she saw a doctor. The suspension's been lifted. But
yeah,
she has to do one team.
Ah, one more team.
Hi. He has to apologize.
Right.
You got it till the end of the show.
Yep.
Fast forward 2.5 hours of Raw in like 6 minutes. And we get to the end. Becky apologized. What do you think about that?
I didn't really expect it, but the booking kind of painted everything into a corner. If you weren't going to do a weird Austin McMahon thing where there's another authority figure that does like Austin, or that does like, in this case, Lynch, where, hey, apologize, crack open beers, finger, stunner, and fuck you, I got a secondary plan. But there is no secondary plan because all of the McMahons are all on the same side. They all control Raw and SmackDown and fucking even NXT. So there's no other like contingency plan. There's no other Linda McMahon who's actually like, hey, I like Foley. Fuck you guys. You know, there's no other Eric Bischoff who's like, well, I also make decisions. There's not a Ric Flair who's like, yeah, woo! You might be in charge of this, but I'm in charge with that. And I say here, there's no other like back pocket thing. So when you drew that storyline up, there was nowhere else for her to go to keep the match, which I kind of agree. There was nowhere else for her to do. So you know what? Say, all right, I'm sorry. Even though it was disingenuous, okay, cool. She says she's sorry. That's what I would have done in her position. You know? So I'm like, all right. Was the story good? Like, no. But I would have lived with it if that was the end. All I needed was Ronda to come out, start beating the shit out of her, and then Ronda stand tall at the end of the night. That's not what happened. Chris, take it from there.
Anybody that heard our Royal Rumble review episode, they had an easy out. They could have had Nia interfere in the Asuka Lynch match, have Becky get rolled up or something due to the distraction to protect her in a loss. But Becky tapped to the armbar. Then she came back later on, which everybody thought was the right idea, which I still think was the right idea. She came back, she won the Rumble. I wanted to forget that little trip and keep walking. Like, oh, but I didn't fall and I'm going to keep walking. Then they hit me with this, with the apology. And the way the outcome – before Vince even came out.
Yeah, we're not even there yet.
If you're comparing this to stars in general, whether it's a male or a female that have been in this position to either be eye-to-eye with the authority on one instance or continue on the same path that proves that you are separate from everyone else around you, I think they really dropped the ball there. So, it felt a bit disjointed in the storyline. More disjointed than her taking a submission loss to Asuka in the Rumble. I was just sitting there like, I don't get it. Just like you mentioned earlier, they could have been Eddie Guerrero. Was like, oh, remember when I apologized? I forgot to tell you. I lied. I cheat. I steal. Becky could have easily said, I'm sorry for hitting you last week. okay,
you're because I wish I would have hit you harder and then start kicking ass.
I'm shake your hand. It's like, well, guys, you didn't let me finish. I apologize for hitting you last week, but that doesn't mean nothing about today. Hit him something to keep this going.
Something to keep Becky. No. Something to keep the badassery of Becky. And it's like she's on the cusp of being that badass.
Oh, wait. You can't. I don't know. We want you to be the badass, though. I still have an idea of who I want to see. So you're good. Just don't be too good, because then I'm going to have to do what I do to Zack Ryder, to Daniel Bryan, to fucking everyone that gets over on their own. I'm going to have to show you what happens to people that get over on their own. You right. Get over when I tell you to get over. I have this one.
Yeah. And it's not so much that, like, oh, hey, it's a heel thing that for Vince and you're supposed to be mad. Like, yeah, I get it. But mad and disinterested are two different things. And this is the same thing that was happening here. WrestleMania 30. Mm-hmm. Heel heat and disinterest are two different things. If D-Bry was not in the main event of WrestleMania, kind of sucked. You know, kind of like the Saints weren't in the Super Bowl. Kind of sucked.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not like, oh man, heel heat. Now I really want to see Charlotte get her ass kicked. No, I don't want to see Charlotte anywhere near this match, period. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you're getting heat onto Charlotte and that's a good thing for Charlotte and a good thing for Ronda, because Ronda kind of looks like a bitch in this too. Ronda doesn't look like she's the baby face. She never looked like the baby face. And maybe they're hoping, oh, against Charlotte, Ronda will be the face. Maybe that's why there's a knee-jerk reaction, because I saw Becky's a star was shining too bright. But, man, I don't know. Like something's
not right. You could have easily come across as the heel authority figure and just not use Charlotte at all. Just keep it between Triple H, Stephanie, and Becky. And have Ronda, like the bonus footage of Raw where Ronda came out and was like, hey, man, I don't get this either. This sucks. I don't want to fight her. I want to fight you. I've already fought her.
That could have been the out. That could have been the out. Ronda could have said that.
And that could have been the build to eventually, oh, Triple H always has a plan B. Snaps his fingers. Ronda's been on the corporation the whole time. And you could have do that. Yeah. You could do that. That's heat. When you're telling me that that Becky's suspended for 60 days and Charlotte's their replacement, I'm looking back going, man, I'm glad I didn't spend $300 extra to actually go to WrestleMania and stay another night in New York City. Like, I'm disinterested in Mania now. Like, I was really hoping that they would actually take strides and actually give us a deserving match that was worthy of ending a show. Becky versus Ronda can be the first and maybe possibly the only woman's match to ever main event WrestleMania. Like end the show. That match is not going to get the same reaction if even with the storyline goes, it ends up being with Charlotte in the middle.
At this point in time, because if Becky never caught on fire, if Becky never became the man, the only other person that would have been worthy enough, if they built them right, to go up against Ronda in the main event of WrestleMania would have been Charlotte. Mm-hmm. But you didn't ride that fucking horse. That iron is no longer hot, and you're not going to heat it up within enough time to get it hot to strike at Mania.
Not like, to mention you have two pay-per-views between Rumble and Mania where you don't even have time to let any of this stuff sink in. Right. I'm going to Chamber and Becky's not on this card. Like, how much interest do I have in most of my interest in the WWE right now? The fact that I still watch the main roster does have a lot to do with Becky, you know, and you can easily.
Becky was literally the only thing that I was looking forward to the entire night on Raw. Mm-hmm. When Becky started the show. Oh, nice. Becky left.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a segment with Becky on. Oh, she's talking to Finn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a commercial. Playing on the phone. Mm-hmm. You know, every single time I saw Becky's face.
Becky and Bliss?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, anytime I saw Becky's face, any of those either backstage segments, and when Becky was being kind of a smartass to one of the clones, Charlie, Kelly, whichever one, one of the clones, like, okay, I dug it. The badassery was starting to get there. That badassery that we haven't seen since Stone Cold, it was starting to get there. And it's like you kind of quelled it a little bit.
Now, Okay. Now
I gotta get to some things in the chat.
Okay.
All right.
Before you, go in, before you go in the chat,
God damn
I'm gonna just say this one thing.
All right, all right.
I'm trying to let all this be give the benefit of the doubt because I was in this position before. Remember that podcast after the Survivor Series? Oh, there's no fucking way. You asked me, is there any way that they can fix Goldberg beating Brock in 45 seconds? I said no. You said fuck you. You moved on to Travis. And then when I came back from that WrestleMania in Orlando, I was like, oh, they fixed it. It took 7 minutes, and they damn near had me. But they fixed it. And even Travis in that episode said that it even erased the doubt from WrestleMania 20. Like, it fixed all that. So if all this, like, all these detours and chicanes and dips and dales and all this leads to somehow we still get Becky versus Ronda at Mania, I understand. But did we need it, though, is my point. You know?
No.
It feels like it feels like with Roman gone, the closest thing to Roman is Charlotte in the sense of I'm not booing Roman because I don't like his character. I'm not booing Roman. I don't care. Like, I don't want to see him anywhere.
You're booing the booking of Roman.
I'm booing the booking of Charlotte. I'm booing the booking of Charlotte. Like, I don't want, like, if Charlotte's in the main event and I was at the arena, I'd walk out and leave. I'd beat the traffic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see Charlotte. And you could, we just had pizza.
Right.
I love pepperoni and cheese pizza.
Right.
I don't ask for a mountain of pepperoni. It's mucho. So with Charlotte, it's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So, okay. Apparently we're not the only ones talking about this.
We're not the only ones talking about this. Okay, going back to the painting yourself into a corner, there's no other authority figures that could have, you know, had a back pocket plan. Mm-hmm. Shane. Robert and Hector both brought up Shane. Mm-hmm. When we saw Shane and Steph and Triple H and Vince all together, when they said, hey, we're taking over now. Sorry, Paige, you lost your job. You know,
go make a movie.
Yeah, go make a movie.
Oh, hey, by the way, you know there's a movie coming out?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah there's a movie
coming out. Yeah, Fighting With My Family.
Yeah, Fighting With My Family, yeah.
February 22nd.
Yeah, February 22nd. Remember. Yeah, never forget. I saw Shane in a united front with the other three. And even though maybe technically right now Shane's a face because all the stuff with The Miz, I don't see Shane showing up defying the rest of his family on Raw for something that he has absolutely nothing to do with while he's in an active other storyline with The Miz, working the babyface thing, having the titles, going up against the Usos. The McMahons, all of them together, they're not segmented enough, but they're also very segmented. So I really don't think that was a backup plan. Like with Linda, that could have happened because Linda didn't have other shit going on, but everyone knew she was, you know, just as much a person that had just as much say-so as Vince. I mean, now that's not the case, but back then, WrestleMania 2000, you know, we bought it. Oh, there's a McMahon in every corner, and each McMahon has say-so in the company, and each McMahon has their own agenda. You know, I don't see Shane as like that. I see Shane as, well, Pop, well, Sis, well, Hunter, you guys say, go ahead. That's cool. Whatever you guys say. I'm over here jerking off with The Miz.
This is where I wish somebody from WWE Creative would text me. Because if they could think that far ahead and split The Miz and have The Miz turn heel on Shane with the main reason that if Shane would be concentrating more on the tag match than he would be for his former Raw talents getting screwed out of her WrestleMania title shot, then that would make perfect sense.
Okay. But when have you ever remembered WWE ever taking a storyline for anybody and then splitting it up where they have two different concurrent storylines going on at the same time on two different shows of importance?
Yeah.
That's never fucking happened. Their characters are always one-track mind, one-dimensional. They never even mention other shit that's going on the card that has nothing to do with them. If Roman Reigns is out there and he's battling Brock Lesnar, he's not referencing anything going on between The Miz and Dolph Ziggler. Mm-hmm. even if they had a badass match, they're not saying, "Whoa, I don't know what's going on with these two, but man, they really tore down the house last night." But that was then. Here's now. Hopefully, I get to tear down the house. You don't hear shit like that. That was something that hooked me when I first started watching TNA back in 2005. Rhino went out there, cut a promo where he was fighting, I think, in the main event, and Rhino said something about, I want to say Christian, but Christian wasn't involved in his storyline. Of course, later it's revealed that they were old best friends, but at the time it was like, why is he even talking about Christian? But they're like, oh, Christian had this amazing match, and you did good, and this and that. But enough about that. Let's talk about me. That was something that, oh, wow, I haven't seen that before. That kind of shit's not going to happen to WWE, so I can't imagine that Shane, who is busy with this, is going to do anything like that. Now, another thing in the chat apparently here is Robert saying, apparently WWE wants you to forget. Another thing they want you to forget is Asuka.
Oh, no.
Charlotte was supposed to fight Asuka.
Oh, no. That's where I'm hoping the other shoe drops. You know, for all the focus that we're having on the girls, I'm waiting for Asuka to just go out to the ring one day on SmackDown or on Raw in all her Japanese glory, yelling in Japanese, saying, oh, what about me? What about Raven? Like, you haven't been paying enough attention to me. And that's going to set her – have if there's – my booking idea is probably fairly simple. I have Charlotte versus Becky somehow – at Fastlane, and the winner gets to face Ronda at Mania, and Asuka costs Charlotte the match because Charlotte's too focused on something that she has no control over when she has unfinished business with Asuka.
Right. And Asuka's the champ, and Asuka should be the one that's like, what the fuck? Why is everybody mooning or fawning over the other girl when I got a belt too, bitches? Yeah. Like, why aren't y'all picking me? Why don't you want to fight me? Why are you falling all over yourself to fight her?
And for all the shit that we just spent talking about, I don't want to see Charlotte near the main event. I do want to see Charlotte Asuka too at Mania.
Yeah,
that's a match that's a story built in that I haven't gotten tired of. And maybe this builds to maybe Asuka versus Rousey later on in the future because all that stuff's a huge melting pot. But they're putting too many ingredients on one side and not putting enough on the other. So it's not mixing evenly.
Yeah. Well, one of these guys in the live chat said something about, really, are you that desperate for an ESPN headline? And that's the other fucked up part about it. You didn't need to do all this shit to make it an ESPN headline.
Sports Illustrated literally crapped all over the whole Becky Lynch.
Oh, did they?
Oh, my God.
I didn't know about that.
And in the back of my mind, I'm like, they got you. But in the back of my mind, WWE does have a track record of fucking up some easy shit.
Yeah.
And this is one of the easiest things they've had, just like on their lap.
Yeah. This you could have still got Sports Illustrated. You could have still got Variety. You could have still got Wall Street Journal. You could have still got ESPN talking with still this storyline, just Becky versus fucking Ronda, and that's it. Like it was so close to just being confirmed, and I get it. You need to draw out storyline because you got to build something for 2 months. I get it that you need story. But this is – I mean, she's suspended up until after Mania. So how much shit has to happen? She's got to get unsuspended, and then she has to get the match back. And then it's like – there's so many fucking bumps and bruises and twists and turns along the way. It's like, I could have just took the beltway and said, you have me going down the fucking energy corridor, taking the left, getting onto fucking main highway, going here, going there. Like, yeah, sure, you get to the same spot, maybe 5-10 minute difference, but fuck, man, I could have just been sitting there, not even thinking about it, on the beltway, bam, I'm home, you know?
And it hurts that there isn't enough time for all these things that are happening to sink in so that you can be invested when the runabout comes or when the comeuppance happens.
Yeah.
Again, we're having Elimination Chamber tonight. 3 weekends ago was the Royal Rumble. 3 weekends after this one is going to be Fastlane. Then after that, 4 more weekends after that, it's WrestleMania. Like, there's not enough time for everything to stick.
It's kind of weird because there's a strange dichotomy here when it comes to WrestleMania season. Because you have so much fucking time to build stuff, but you also don't have any time to build stuff. because it, you have Mania, then Fastlane, then Chamber, then Rumble, Chamber, Fastlane, then Mania. You have all this shit in between, and it's like, we have to have a badass fucking pay-per-view for Chamber. We have to have a badass fucking pay-per-view for... No, you don't. You can have an all right pay-per-view. What you need to be building solidified in stone right the fuck now, right after Rumble, is your main events. That you can push on the Good Day morning shows and this and that once it's set in stone for 2 fucking months solid, straight, no bullshit. Chamber and Fastlane could be the undercard or the other belts or this and that. Don't go around fucking with all the other shit that, like, we're excited to see right now. I'm excited to see this today. So you got me hooked for 2 months from now. I'm making my B&B plans. I'm making my travel arrangements. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing here. I'm doing there. I'm making all these fucking plans. And you pull that rug out from underneath me for the main thing I want to fucking see. Why? Because, oh, we got to fill up TV time and we got to fill up these other two pay-per-views. No, man. Just put less fucking emphasis on it, or put more emphasis on your undercard saying, hey, look. Main event of Elimination Chamber is going to be for Intercontinental title. Main event for Fastlane is going to be number one contender for the U.S. title.
Main event for Chamber is we're going to give you the first ever – we're going to give you women's tag team champions that we haven't had in over 25 years.
Yeah, that could have been so easy this fucking year. So easy. We're introducing a new goddamn belt. So you could have solidified the main event, which should have been Charlotte Ronda. You – would have already solidified whatever's going on with Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins, and just build that shit, pimp it out, have them talk about it on the news with an S, not with a Z, sites, for 2 months solid. That way it's fucking saturated and the word is out. If you're changing the main event week to week to week to pay-per-view to pay-per-view to pay-per-view.
Sounds like WCW.
Variety, ESPN, fucking Dead Rolling Spin. Stones. They're not going to know what the fuck to do. They print out something right now, and then it's going to be outdated within a week. Like, oh, man, I'm going to – someone at Rolling Stone will write up this badass thing about how great Becky versus Ronda is going to be. And right now, it's obsolete.
Yeah.
But why? Even, okay, well, you don't understand. We are going to do it. We just need to have a story. No, for right now, you've lost everybody. Even if you think that, oh, you're going to come back around to it.
I should have taken a look at StubHub to see how much the tickets were before last Monday's Raw and to see how much the tickets are now that we've had the fallout of the whole, oh, hey, Becky suspended. She's not going to main event WrestleMania. Just to see if there was a dip in the prices on the tickets resale because people don't want to go anymore.
On the third-party
site. On the third-party site, yeah.
And?
I didn't get a chance to.
Oh, God damn it. This would have been very interesting. If you
so had. Other than the whole Becky thing.
Now, well, hold on. Over under that we actually do wind up getting Becky versus Ronda, and that this is just a thing to piss us off. Because this does seem very storyline-y. Okay, this does seem kayfabe-y.
I want Becky versus Ronda to end the show. I do not want to see Becky versus Charlotte opening the show at Mania and the winner fights at the end. No. It has to be done. But by the time Fastlane's over, the next night on Raw, if it's not Becky versus Ronda, I'm going to start checking out.
Okay.
What about you?
I need it to happen now. I need it to happen now. I mean, yeah, sure, I'm not going. I don't have the money to go. But damn, if I did, if I were in your position where...
Well, I'm not going to Mania.
Well, thank I know. God, thank God I'm I know not. You're. I know you're not. Yeah. But if I were in your position where you might have, could have, would have, should have, maybe you did. You just said earlier, I'm glad I didn't spend the $300, but... You're getting tempted. You're getting tempted.
If I was this before. Stayed, 2 weeks ago, I was.
If this was to say, WWE would have had your $300. Mm-hmm. But now they don't. Mm-hmm. So it needs to happen sooner rather than later. If this is the thing everybody wants to see, learn your goddamn lesson from WrestleMania 30. And you still didn't. And you think you did because at the end of the night, you gave us what all we wanted. But after we had to fucking pry it from your fucking mouth like pulling teeth. Fuck, man. That build to WrestleMania 30 was excruciating.
Yep.
And not in a good way, in a way where it looked like it was never, ever going to happen. And like the build for WrestleMania 30 was one of the worst builds ever. But goddamn it, we finally got what we wanted. So I guess WWE thinks, well,
we pulled it off.
We pulled it off, didn't we? The ends justify the means. No, bitch, in wrestling, the means matter just as much as the ends because you got to watch every fucking week. You got to keep people interested and entertained all the goddamn time. And they're not right now. Okay, mm-hmm. That's it. Porsche says, hello, jerks. Hello, Porsche.
Besides the whole Becky situation, were you excited or did you care at all for the new tag team champions? The revival?
Oh, finally? Shit. I forgot about that. Excited? No. The tag belts have been a little bit like hot potato. Or maybe not even. Like, maybe it was like a really slow game of hot potato. But I don't care. I don't care.
Wow.
I mean, yay, good for the revival. But again, that
iron. This will keep you from going to AEW.
That iron's not hot anymore. Yeah. Now, Hector just sent us an interesting little photo in on Facebook Messenger of some new tag belts that the old tag belts the revival,
because they still have that old WWE logo, so they might just be bringing back some of the classic belts that are not even like updated.
I mean, that's cool, but at this point it's kind of like the Intercontinental title before Cody got a hold of it. Once Cody got a hold of it, turned it back into that white belt and had a good run. Okay, the Intercontinental title now meant something. It still needed that Miz run after that.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm like, okay, Intercontinental title is great. But before then, let me give a flying fuck. And right now, that's kind of where they're at. Hopefully the revival can be the Cody. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they will, because I don't know if WWE trusts the revival. Mm-hmm. And they might just be, hey, here's a carrot. Make sure you stick around and don't go to AEW. And like once they say, okay, fine, I'll sign on the dotted line. Just like Ziggler. Hey, sign the contract and we'll give you a main event push. Okay, cool. We even tag team you up with this new hotness, Drew. Okay, cool. Sign the dotted line. Okay, cool. Here's your thing we promised, and now you're back on the back burner.
Yeah. You can't say we didn't give it to you. We gave it to you.
We never told you
how long.
We gave it to you.
And where we would show you.
Which is the exact same goddamn attitude with this Becky versus Charlotte thing. Oh, we gave it to you. If it winds up being the main event of WrestleMania, we gave it to you. Fuck all the shit that happened right after fucking the Rumble, you know, and all this bullshit leading up into the Chamber. Mm-hmm. But whatever.
My match of the week pick!
Que la chingada, pinche wey.
I can't believe I'm saying this because I normally don't. The gauntlet match that main evented SmackDown last night.
The entire thing?
The entire thing.
The whole McGillicuddy.
And here's why the entire thing.
Okay.
Because damn near the entire thing had Kofi. There was one common thread that kept all the eyes of the needles together, and it was Kofi. Kofi and fucking Daniel Bryan tore the fucking house down. Kofi out of nowhere hit that Trouble in Paradise. Holy shit, the champ got pinned. Wow. Not that it matters, but it's good story to build up. Not for Chamber. We're building up right now why this guy from the joke comedy act on our brand deserves to be in this match.
Yeah.
It's painful that Mustafa Ali's gone. I would have loved to see Mustafa Ali break in pieces on the fucking Chamber. But we're getting new Kofi Kingston instead, who's been in the Chamber several times. Actually, a few times. He's been booked a lot of times, but he gets jumped from behind and replaced.
I think that only happened once.
But I do remember the next time where he's walking around, he kept turning.
He kept looking over his, yeah.
So right off the bat, he pins the heavyweight champ.
Right.
Next on the list was freaking Jeff Hardy.
I think you might be fast-forwarding a little bit too much over that first match. That first match, I forgot it was a gauntlet. And like,
you thought Kofi won the belt?
No, oh, I just thought Kofi won the match.
Okay.
And like for a split second there, I thought it was, oh, whoever wins gets to, you know, enter the chamber last. I forgot it was a gauntlet. I thought it was just those two. And I was like, oh, wait, yeah, this is not fucking God damn, that match was like three commercials break long already. And now we're going to have another fucking series of four other matches? Shit, Kofi ain't winning this next one.
I was trying to hit him with some haymakers, trying to hit him with some spots to get him out. Kofi hits him with the freaking SOS.
Yeah.
Pins Hardy.
What? Dude, this guy's still going?
No, so he pins Bryan, and the crowd's like, what the fuck just happened? The black guy beat Daniel Bryan. Shit. Yay. And then Jeff Hardy comes out. Yay.
And then fucking Kofi pins Jeff Hardy. What the fuck? And then Joe comes out. Joe. All the fans are chanting for Joe.
I don't think everybody was chanting for Joe. I heard a lot of people were chanting for Kofi.
No, when his music hit.
Okay.
Every time Joe's music hits, everybody has. Once that music stops, they boo the fuck out of Joe. And then Kofi with that protected roll up on the Coquina clutch for Joe. I was like, and then so when that happened, that's when I noticed the secondary view. I noticed a lot of people stand up and applaud.
Oh yeah.
Not cheer. They applaud. It's like, this motherfucker won't die.
Yeah.
He's still in this. And then Joe beats the ever loving fuck out of him. Chokes him out. Make sure that he ain't got nothing left for AJ. Mm-hmm. AJ comes out and beats Joe away, which there's an asterisk to that, but I'll get to that in a second. And this is where they got me. AJ was checking on Kofi. Hey, man, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Are you okay? Are you sure? They're in the ring after commercial. Dude, you don't got to do this, man. It's okay. You just – I don't want to beat you like this. It's not fair. When Kofi hit AJ with the preach, fuck. It fucking got me, dude.
Yeah.
Because it's low-key, that's a guy that we've seen for over a decade.
That's the guy that we thought was going to get a main event push over a decade ago when he went up against Orton.
Yep. That top in Madison Square Garden where he hit the boom drop on Orton laid out on the table, and that's the moment that everybody looked at Kofi's like, ah. That motherfucker's going to be a big deal one of these days.
Daniel, I see you in the live chat. Welcome. We'll get to some of the stuff you're saying here in a second. Boy, Kofi, man. Like, Kofi, he's always been kind of there on the cusp several times.
You know, half a dozen at least.
At least. Man, I was getting flashbacks of when, oh, shit, they might be taking this dude seriously with the Orton stuff, man. Oh, shit, they're actually going to do something with this guy. Man, this is going to be interesting. I don't think this is kind of uncharted waters for WWE. This dude, he has the charisma. This kid
fresh out of ECW.
Yeah. I mean, he's not what WWE normally goes for. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, he's not what the WWE normally goes for.
Moveset also.
Moveset also. But goddamn, has he been?
Kofi reminds me of that Warning album from Green Day. If that album would have came out 5 years later, they would have been bigger than American Idiot ever would have made them. I think Kofi Kingston showed up on ECW and on the first 2 or 3 years of Raw, maybe 5 years early. If he would have came in at the same time and gotten hot as the same, if he would have gotten hot as the same time as CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, indie wrestlers like that that WWE was starting to embrace, mm-hmm. Kofi would be a higher profile than he is even now.
Which I know that sometimes this is said and maybe a little bit ad nauseum and maybe a little bit as like, all right, get over it because it technically has happened. I could see Kofi, if with the proper push, being the first ever real African-American WWE champion. Because it hasn't really happened yet, you know? I mean,
Hold the WWE title. Not right. Booker T with the World Heavyweight.
Yeah.
You know, not The Rock, you know?
Kofi. I could see that happening because every time that they tease us with a little push of Kofi, people stand at attention and are like, oh, shit, they're actually pulling the trigger. They're actually doing this. Yeah. And they're okay with it, but people don't expect it. People see Kofi and they think Ziggler. They think he's always going to kind of be there, but not quite. But the thing that Ziggler has over Kofi is he's black and he's not white, so WWE has never really done it. So if it were to do it, holy shit, but they ain't going to do it. You know, and it's like, man, I really wish that they would, you know, because as much as I like Lashley, and as much as I think that if they push Lashley as hard as they push some of the other big guys like Lesnar and Strowman and this and that, okay, I could see Vince acquiescing to that and Vince saying, well, let's put it on this guy to have him be our first real African-American champ, right? But, dude, if you put it on Kofi, I'd be 10 times happier with that. Like, Kofi? Fuck yes! Because not only would that be great, you know, because of the history and Black History Month and all that stuff, even if it happened now, goddamn, that'd be awesome. But God damn, he fucking deserves it. Holy shit, does Kofi deserve it? He has been around forever. He's been over forever. He's taken chicken shit and made it into, like, you know.
Edible.
Okay, yeah, we
can
say that.
I eat ass, so it can happen. It can happen, so. Sidebar before we get to the finish of this gauntlet match.
Hector agreed with you that that's his match of the week.
Oh, I thought he agreed that he's ass.
maybe that too. So, I don't know. His wife is in the chat.
Hey, it's the season. I posted a video on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Post match of the guys in the New Day, and Big E and Xavier, conscious of the fact that, dude, Kofi's our guy. He's the leader. We're the ones following him. He's the trendsetter. He's the guy that's been here for over 10 years doing the things that he does. He's the guy that opened the door for guys like Big E and me. And he's been, dude.
The commentary.
The whole interview that Kofi deserves to be in this position. I don't know if you guys have been catching this, but for the last couple of months, even building up to the Rumble, Big E and Xavier have been touting when Kofi wins matches. Future World Heavyweight Champ right here. Y'all just don't know it. And now he's in this fucking match out of nowhere. And I'm thinking, does WWE have the stones?
Man, no.
Two no. pay-per-views before WrestleMania?
No.
With a pay-per-view before WrestleMania to no. fix whatever this is?
No, they don't.
They don't have
the stones. If this wasn't Mania season, yes.
Here's why I say it.
Okay.
Going back to why I have the biggest complaint that I do, and I've said this before on this show, if the main event, if the last match on the pay-per-view, the money-making match, is going to be Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch, it really doesn't fucking matter which titles are being defended by whom. You can have Brock Lesnar against the fucking mop and Daniel Bryan against Kofi Kingston, and it doesn't matter because the main event is Ronda versus Becky. You can test the waters with matches like that. I would love to see Kofi Kingston defend the WWE title against anybody, even if it opens the pay-per-view. Because number one, I know that the match that's the most hype and that's got the most build, the match that fans want to see the most is ending. Yet I can still appreciate inside myself, apart from everyone else, that I have invested so much of my wrestling fandom into a guy like Kofi, and the dividends are finally paying off sevenfold.
That is what WrestleMania has been missing ever since the Money in the Bank left WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Money in the Bank was that thing where, holy shit, this guy that we've been liking, who's the WWE equivalent of an indie darling, I guess a WWE mid-card darling, could actually get their shot and get something, a Future World title shot for somebody that's never got it before. And it always went to the guys that were right on the bubble.
Edge, CM Punk.
Yes, all these guys that hadn't RVD. Gotten the chances before. Man, that would have been fucking badass, and that's something that's missing ever since then, because now it's about four main events. And, of course, the main events are who Vince thinks is the main event. Lesnar, Cena, Orton. Bleh,
Roman.
Get well soon. Yeah. All of these, like, guys that are the mid-card darlings that we want to see succeed to eventually get that. Like, the same feeling that I had about Bret Hart back in 1991 when I was fucking tired and over Hulk Hogan. But goddamn, Bret Hart's the number two guy in the company because he is the Intercontinental Champion. I want to see him even though Hogan's ending the show.
Yeah, Bret versus Flair. Yes, yeah, I'm ready for Bret. Give me Bret.
I'm ready for Kofi. I'm ready for all these undercard guys. And if you're going to have the big name marquee fucking the shit that you think is the top of the mountain at the top of the mountain, then fuck it. Let the bottom of the mountain be stuff that you're going to throw against the wall. Let the bottom of the mountain be Kofi winning something crazy. That would be badass, but you don't get that anymore because that was the spot that Money in the Bank filled. And it's not there anymore. Nobody makes their name at Mania. When you're at Mania, you already have your name, and you make a moment to help solidify your legacy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then Randy Orton came out of nowhere with 15 seconds left on the show, RKO'd AJ, yeah. And there we go. That was fucking beautifully done.
Yeah.
There was not a lull in that match. I was entertained yet so heavily emotionally invested in Kofi.
Yeah.
That's my match of the week, dude. And I wasn't expecting it at all. That's my match of the week.
I agree. Well, I mean, I agree that you're like, it's good.
Why
it's not my pick. I get it. Why it's your pick. Yeah. It could have been my pick. It was close to being my pick. The reason why, even coming into this apartment today, me thinking that I might go with the WOW match as my match of the week is because the only reason we always have problems deciding how to actually treat gauntlet matches as matches of the week. Do we just treat the match that we thought was the favorite out of the gauntlet? In my case, it would have been the opener. Mm-hmm. You know, Kofi versus D-Bry. That was fucking beautiful. That was art. But I'm not as big of a fan of AJ versus Orton. Like, okay, it was kind of predictable. Orton still
But it made out. Sense.
It made sense, but it's like, eh, wah, 5 seconds, RKO, out of nowhere, we know it's going to happen.
But I would think that's the Cindy Crawford mole in the rest of her beautiful face as opposed to the rest of the gauntlet match.
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
I guess.
But, and the fact that I like this gauntlet match so much,
that's
instead
true.
Of picking out, there was so much meat on that bone that I can pick out the marble that was the last 20 seconds with Orton and AJ and still enjoy the rest of it.
Okay.
As opposed to spending the first 15 minutes cutting the fucker up and get the stuff I don't eat.
Okay.
You know, so because I was surprised at that, that's my pick for match of the week.
That's fine.
You
know, I know that we're kind of like experimenting with our format. We've been doing this and that where we're just only talking about the stuff that we care about. And I know this particular week, we've spent a lot of time already. However, I'm going to ask you this, putting you on the spot right here in the middle of the goddamn show, asking you about formatting. Because this is the go-home show for Elimination Chamber. We haven't done any predictions, any anticipation levels.
We're getting there. We're almost done.
Okay.
We have one last team.
One more team.
Because they're between NXT.
Oh, hold on. That was Vince insulting everyone's intelligence again. 1 minute left. Orton's not coming out from the entrance. Gee, you wonder what's going to happen. Vince says, you're all stupid, pay me. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about that last part. It's like, yeah, okay.
So, I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Go ahead. Oh, do you think WWE needs to do what TNA did with Ron Killings, but with Kofi? Yes and no. Yes, they need to push him. Yes, they need to take him seriously. No, they don't need to turn him heel.
Yeah, no.
Okay, go. Sorry.
Drew Gulak versus Matt Riddle. The gauntlet match from SmackDown. There was one more match that I thought would be match of the week that I didn't watch until I found out through social media how many people like the match. So I watched this match with you.
Yes.
No DQ match. Noam Dar against Tony Nese.
205
Live. 205
Live.
When was the last time, honestly, in front of that audience, when was the last time you saw 205?
Before they went down under. Before Murphy won the title.
Okay.
I want to say maybe Saudi.
November.
Somewhere around there,
November.
Yeah.
The first weekend for Crown Jewel. No, the Buddy Murphy thing was down under in October.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was further back then. Yeah. Ooh. It's been since the fall.
This is easily your first time watching a match with Aiden English on commentary.
Yes, it is.
What did you think of the match?
Aiden English could use some work as a commentator, but he's not bad. He has a good voice.
Again, the voice is the hook. The training he'll get the clock.
Eventually. Yeah.
What'd you think of the match?
I liked it. Match of the week candidate. Definitely match of the week candidate. If there wasn't so many other strong, surprisingly strong matches.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting this to be a strong week, but it was. But this is a nice little contender. A nice little contender. But there are some misgivings that I have with it.
Go for it.
And I feel I don't know how. Okay. I feel bad for criticizing this because it's something different. And I like always something different. I'm always complaining. Why the hell does somebody, when they're running the ropes and they shoot somebody off the ropes, why the hell does somebody lay down and the guy jump over him? I want to see one point. Somebody not successfully jump over him and see, oh, yeah, if I lay down and you don't jump over me, you fall on your face. And that's what I was trying to do. That's why I laid down. We never see that. this was kind of one of those moments in that match where it happened, but I didn't like it. And it is a table was taken out, a table was teased, a table spot was teased, then a table was set up for more of a spot, then it was teased again, and then it was never used. Wait,
you
what?
Say that as a negative.
That's a negative. And ooh! I feel bad for saying it as a negative. It's as if somebody was shooting off the rope, somebody laid down, somebody tripped over them. And I'm like, oh, that's not what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to jump over them. But I bitch about that. And I feel that's why I feel bad about bitching about this, because it's something different. It's something like, oh, you took out a table, but you didn't use it. Oh, that's clever. I should feel that way. But in this particular match,
it's a positive for me, okay, overwhelmingly, because okay, I complain about this ad nauseum with these kind of matches, that once a table met set up, I know in my head the match is not over until that motherfucker's broken.
Right.
So the fact that it wasn't broken,
yep,
I was pleasantly surprised at the finish.
Okay.
You know? Especially when the finish was what it was.
I was unpleasantly surprised at the finish. Like, it was like, that's it? Now? There's a table. That was too quick. That was anticlimactic. I didn't like the finish.
And again, I'm going to disagree with you.
That is fine,
because
sir.
Because in the entire mythos of this 205 brand,
mythos,
from the Cruiserweight Classic till now, maybe it's my fault because I've been missing a lot of 205 matches lately, but I can't recall a 205 live match, a Cruiserweight match, where those guys were given that kind of freedom.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a Cruiserweight go through a table like that? Did you ever see a Cruiserweight go through the barricade like that? Did you ever see the Cruiserweights do some of the hardcore shit
that even
main roster guys don't do? That fucking thing where he stuck fucking Tony Nese's hand through the grate of the
turnbuckle
and start, oh my God, that was nasty.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
I loved all that too. This is why this is still a match of the week candidate for me. I'm not shitting all over this match, but the few misgivings I have are what take it down a notch from like the other matches throughout the week.
Gotcha.
That's one of my misgivings. Okay. And I kind of feel bad for saying it because I feel you, and normally I would agree with you on that, but I don't know why.
Give me one that you're confident about.
In this particular match, I didn't like a misgiving that I'm confident about. Weren't we working on Noam Dar's arm? And then in the middle, we were working on the leg. And then Vic Joseph was like, oh, man, he's working that leg all night long. Like, no, he hasn't. He went from arm, doing stuff with the arms. And then he just slaps on, I think it was a figure four or something. No. It was some other. A knee bar. I think it was a knee bar. He slapped on a knee bar. Oh, man, his knee's got to be hurting. Oh, my God.
They were putting over during commentary that Noam Dar had meniscus surgery. He was out for 8 months.
Right. But he specifically said, and even in the course of the match, before it was even said, I was like, wait. Well, now he's working the knee? He went from the arm to the knee?
That doesn't make sense. Which the arm was visibly fucked.
Yeah. And then it was like, okay, well, he's going to hit him with the chair in the knee, which looked cool, but the fact that you tried to work one body part and work the other and you shifted gears in the middle of the match and then you try to sell it like they were working the entire body part the entire match, I didn't like that. Yeah, you shifted gears too fast on me. I wasn't ready to shift that gear.
Got you.
Other than that, the match was fucking fantastic.
Was
it was
nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah. With that being said, Buddy Murphy's defending the Cruiserweight title against Akira Tozawa this Sunday. It possibly is going to be on the pre-show. I'm sorry if there's background noise of like Travis Scott or something in the background. The neighbors back there, they do their own thing. A lot of times I'm down with it, but not right now.
Not right now because we're doing the show. Yeah.
But
the wall is vibrating.
If this feels like poetry night and you just hear some bass in the background, just snap your fingers and nod along.
This wall is actually vibrating.
Don't worry. This Saturday, I'm going to return the favor when I get the walls vibrating.
Oh.
So, paral. Anticipation level for what might probably be on the pre-show, Akira Tozawa getting a shot at Buddy Murphy.
On paper, 10.
What the fuck?
On paper.
On paper.
On paper, 10.
Execution.
Since I don't know what the fuck's going on, 5. So it meet me in the middle, 7. Okay, just because like I know that match sounds fucking amazing, but I have no idea what the hell's going on. What is the storyline? It's going to be on the pre-show. It's like, yeah, okay, 7. That match should be amazing.
I'm at about an 8 again, just based on word of mouth. I haven't been keeping up with this show. The matches that I've seen Buddy Murphy in have been phenomenal.
Yes.
I didn't know that he can carry people to these kind of matches. I'm assuming Murphy's the one calling all this shit in the ring. And he's doing phenomenal, man.
He's doing good.
He's doing really good. Unfortunately, I'm at an 8, but even if this is on the pre-show and I'm going to watch it and I hope I like it, I'm kind of looking to the next stage. Because if the whooping that fucking Tony Nese gave to Noam Dar leads to fucking Buddy Murphy versus Tony Nese, I'm at an 11 for that shit.
Okay. Heel versus heel.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
I got that with fucking Bianca Belair and Shayna Baszler at TakeOver, and I was fun. I was all over that shit.
Okay.
So build it up as a UFC fight, I'm fucking down. I've got Murphy winning this because I think they're building towards a big change at Mania. Hopefully on the main card, they'll actually put Buddy Murphy on the main card, and he might be dropping it to somebody we might not be expecting. So okay. I've got Buddy Murphy holding on to the belt at least till Mania. So I've got Buddy winning this.
Cool.
Same?
Sure.
Okay. Corbin versus Strowman.
3-0. Okay.
Who you got winning?
Strowman.
Strowman. That was fast. Yeah. Now you know why we saved this for last, right?
Yeah, I know. Right.
Shane O'Miz against the Uso Penitentiary. I hope I didn't.
Yeah, you probably did. 5.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm at about a 6. I want to crawl closer to a 7. Because, the promo on SmackDown was legit, man.
The promo was all right. Up until Shane dadded it up in there at the very end.
Can I get some jalapeno poppers for my Samoan friends here?
Yeah, that was goddamn. He was totally dadding it up. I wasn't digging that. But again, do I have to repeat everything I said last week about the tag team titles?
Yes.
Do I have to?
We might have people that aren't watching.
It's fucking Usos. Usos bar New Day. That's all we see in the fucking main event scene for the tag team titles. That's all we see.
Bye.
Okay, now we got The Miz and Shane. Okay, great. It's something new, but again, it's a mishmash. It's not an actual established team, so they're doing some bullshit, and then one half of it is Shane. And yes, I know I said I'm over Shane, but Shane in this capacity being fucking dad funny and not being really funny, I'm like, no, I don't like it. Miz being fucking chip on his shoulder, trying to prove himself, Miz, I like that a lot better than cutesy, hey, I want to be your best friend, Miz. Like, no, this isn't the Miz I want. So that whole kerfuffle right there between them two, I'm not digging. Dude, if this would have been Mac and Miz or Miz and Mac or whatever versus a new team, fucking Heavy Machinery or Sanity or
Lucha House Party.
Lucha House Party. Are you give a fucking goddamn bone to the fucking Ascension? Like, shit, man, somebody else that we
Hawkins and Ryder.
Hawkins and Ryder, goddamn, yes. Like, and I really, really dislike Zack Ryder.
Lorcan and Birch.
Yes. Like, then I'll be like, finally, some fresh fucking blood. But you're taking kind of quasi-fresh blood, at least it's different blood, but not really fresh. It's been sitting in the refrigerator for about a year and
It's not fresh blood, but vampires will eat that shit anyway.
And you're mixing it with very not fresh blood with the Usos.
Goat blood.
Yeah, it's like, come on. No, who wins the fucking Miz bullshit? Yeah, I don't know.
Shane O'Miz are winning.
Yeah.
Sanity
is at home mad because they're not being used and the Good Brothers are doing house shows when they're not jobbing on TV. You're right, Daniel, that's true.
2-on-1 handicap match for the Intercontinental Championship.
Wait, what?
Let me repeat myself. 2-on-1 handicap match for the Intercontinental Championship. The challenger, Finn Balor, against Bobby Lashley, and
The Man of the Hour, The Moth, Leo Rush. Anticipation level. If you keep scratching that head, you're gonna, all right. It's all going to be gone. All
right. Let's do a little bit of wrestling math here.
Oh, Steiner math. You see, because... Yeah.
One-on-one, Finn Balor couldn't beat Bobby Lashley.
No.
So, you add another competitor, two-on-one, and we expect Finn Balor to win.
He's an extraordinary man that does extraordinary things.
He's an extraordinary...
Okay, by the way, you know, Fighting With My Family is coming out February 22nd, theaters all over the country.
February 22nd.
February 22nd.
Two-on-one. My anticipation level is a two.
My anticipation level is a one. Who do you have winning?
I don't give a fuck. Lashley.
Lashley.
Why not?
Lashley.
The only
it's Black History Month. None of them are losing.
The only way Lashley's not winning this is if Finn pins Leo. And can that happen in this match? If Finn pins Leo, does he get the title? I guess so. If he does, I don't care, because then that means that we're going to have more of Lashley versus Finn. And
Lashley.
That,
Lashley.
Yeah,
Lashley.
I mean, I wish well on Lashley. I want Lashley to get pushed. I want Lashley to do stuff. This isn't it.
Ronda Rousey defending the Raw Women's title against Ruby Riott. What's your anticipation level?
On paper? That match is probably going to be a nine.
But in human form?
In human form, I don't give a good goddamn who the fuck Ronda fights between now and Mania. Fuck that shit. We know Ronda's going to win. We know Ronda's going to be the champ. I don't give a fuck about any of these two pay-per-views in between as far as Ronda goes. Ronda should not be fighting at all. Fuck that shit. No. Yeah, Ronda's going to squash the fuck out of Ruby Riott. No, it's not even a competition.
What if Ronda...
And I want well for Ruby. I want Ruby to do well, but not in this match.
What if Ronda starts beating up on the McMahons and she gets suspended and then there's no match and then they have to just fucking bring them both back?
And I don't think
as of ruse, knowing damn well Rousey's already corporate.
Okay, great. That ups my anticipation level and intrigue for what the storyline is between Becky and Ronda.
Yeah.
That has absolutely zero to do with Ruby Riott.
So since I'm going to be in the building with my nephew, because he's going to want to watch every fucking thing on that show, I'm going to have to answer the question. Ruby is another one of those women that has experience wrestling. She's been wrestling in the indies long before she showed up on NXT. She knows how to call matches. Her matches on NXT have been good. Her matches on Raw have been good. Her tag matches with the Riott Squad when they're not getting the shit beat out of them accidentally from the Bellas.
What is it Arnold and I always say about Ruby? Ruby's the truth.
Yeah. Can't boo that ass either.
Well.
So, well, unless you can't boo that nose, but since we ate all the Fruit Loops, I can't say that anymore.
Oh, God.
So my anticipation for what happens in between the bells is at about an 8, almost a 9. Once the bells are over, Becky better fucking show up and do something. If Becky is not on this pay-per-view, my entire grade is going to be a fucking F. Not even an incomplete, a straight flat F. And I've got Rousey's. It's obvious. Rousey's winning this. There's no way they're going to. It's Rousey, dude. So. And that's why we saved the prediction show for last, because we pounded through the whole fucking thing.
Is that the entire fucking thing?
We got two matches left.
Oh, okay. Duh.
First ever. For this generation, women's tag team championship inside the Elimination Chamber. You have the Wild Samoans, you have the Iconics, you have Team Boss Hug, you have Fire and Desire.
Which Wait, who?
Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose.
Oh, they're calling themselves Fire and Desire? All right.
The Riott Squad and Naomi and Carmella.
Okay.
All six teams.
Okay.
Anticipation level for this match.
8.
Do you have an explanation or is it just paper?
First ever women's tag team chamber match. Okay, cool. I'm on board. For the first ever women's tag team titles. Well, not first ever, but now, new, whatever.
The returning,
yeah. Okay, I'm interested. Do I have a whole lot of faith in what they're going to do with this tag team title? Not really, because I don't know what to do with their current tag team titles on the guys, but it's something new, something different. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. That being said, the first ever Women's Money in the Bank, the first ever Women's Royal Rumble, the first ever this and that, all of them have just kind of gotten over on the fact that they're just the first ever. And my prediction back then for all these different matches was, I want to see the second ever. Maybe the second one will be more based on its own merits of storyline and wrestling than it is, hey, it's the first ever. And this might be one of those matches where, hey, it's the first ever, so they're just going to get over on that. But still, benefit of the doubt.
I'm going to help you out here.
Okay.
I'm looking at this as 12 women that are going to beat the fuck out of each other in this goddamn cage.
Okay.
This is not the first ever tag match inside the Elimination Chamber. True. Fortunately enough, I was at Corpus Christi at the house show turned Elimination Chamber special that became the first ever male tag team inside Hell in a Cell. I mean, inside the chamber for the belts. So I'm trying not to nitpick like you, because me, as a guy that loves titties and ass and wants women to succeed in life, in wrestling, I'm already tired of first ever women's fill in the blank. Yeah. I'm already getting tired of it. Like, when you're trying your best to put over something instead of letting its merit speak for itself, then it's no longer as important as you think it should be. So I don't want to see it that way. I'm seeing it as 12 women inside this McDonald's playland. Let's play. I'm at a 10.
Whoa! All right.
I definitely have the separation between Sasha and Bayley happening in this match.
Whoa!
I have the Iconics winning.
Whoa! Okay.
I think that might be the most, not just the most established, but the most cohesive tag team. Like, they've gotten to the point where I can't see one without the other. I like Sarah Logan, but damn, I want me some Liv all by herself. I can't see, and as much as I have a hard on for the, not Billie Kay, the other one, Peyton Royce. They do so well together on their promos that it feels like if I see one of them by themselves, it's not going to be as satisfying or entertaining as it would be the both of them. And it highlighted that for me in the Rumble when Billie Kay came out first. And she's like, fuck this noise. I'm not going out there until my bestie comes. And she waited a couple of entrants before Peyton Royce shows up. So I feel like this is the best way to get the women's tag team division's momentum going in the right direction. So I've got the Iconics winning this. Maybe okay. Fire and Desire, but I like dude, again, for all the shit that SmackDown took in Survivor Series, we need to bring back some of that balance on the scales, and SmackDown needs this rub. So I'm putting the Iconics as a winning team.
Okay, I'm going to throw out two different predictions.
God damn you!
One prediction is I wish this would happen, but I don't think it will. The other one is this is probably what's really going to happen. So the first one, the one that I wish this was happened and it has a good chance. I think the Riot Squad's winning. Ruby is going to take a beating against Ronda. Consolation prize. Hey, your other two goons will have the title. So they still have heat. They still have clout. They can still run around. Yeah, I might have got my ass whooped by Ronda, but hey. We're tag team champions together. Free brood rules. And then they could still be annoying, but playfully adoringly annoying. But whatever. And they're good. And I do see them as an actual cohesive unit, especially if it's all three of them. I see them as a cohesive unit. And if Ruby's not busy being Ronda's TV program, she could totally still be a part of this tag team thing, and they could run around both Raw and SmackDown, which assume, since it's just one set of women's tag team titles, they would show up on both, I would assume, and see more of both of them, or see more of them on both shows. Mm. So, yeah. But what I think is really going to happen?
The Bellas.
No. The Wild Samoans.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's what WWE is going to do. They're going to put it on Nia, and Nia has her little backup. But they put an awful lot of shine on Nia walking into the Men's Royal Rumble. They still call her Facebreaker. They're still letting her and Tamina have little promos here and there, and they're heels. Wrestling, You want the heels to have the belt, especially if, like, I can totally see first time ever, especially not first time ever, they're going to have the belts. They're going to be chased so that it establishes a feud and establishes another babyface team that'll be chasing them so that we could cheer for. Put it on a heel that nobody wants to see. Oh, I ruined the first ever. God damn it, I want these other fucks to win. And these other fucks are going to be chasing and getting them over. And you get two teams over. One over as a heel, one over as a babyface at the same time.
I try my best to take as many good notes as I can. So I apologize for leaving this out. But I'm going to tell you why it's not going to be them.
Why is that?
Because I believe Nia's next feud that's already happening is against Dean. They were teasing at a house show. They were advertising for an upcoming house show before Mania that one of the co-main events was an intergender match between Nia Jax and Dean Ambrose, which WWE might have been retracting because they thought it was old promotion. But they could. But just the fact that they were thinking about it to the point that they teased it on live event marketing leads me to believe that they're huge, like, attraction match for Mania, instead of it being like a Hollywood celebrity or a sports athlete, might actually be an intergender between Nia Jax and Dean Ambrose. And I don't think Nia Jax is going to get all that holding the women's title with Tamina. I think that's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Okay.
So
that's interesting.
That's the rebuttal. I don't think that's why I didn't pick the Wild Samoans. I think Nia's, I think Tamina's actually going to need to beat Nia's backup for fucking Dean.
Daniel Price says, nah, they scrapped those plans for Dean and Nia.
Oh, that doesn't mean they can bring them back. We still got 2 months and 14 pay-per-views between now and Mania.
Nia wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
And then we get to the guys. Oh, one more thing. Again, I don't want to think about it this way, but since they're promoting it this way, do you think the first ever women's tag team title Elimination Chamber ends the show over the men?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Well, one, because it's women, and, you know, Vince isn't going to do that unless it's like – I'm still not fully convinced that they're going to do that at Mania, even though that's been the rumor for the year and a half. And they're not going to blow that load on Chamber where they haven't even pimped it out that much. And two, it's tag teams.
And a division that you needed to go through both shows, and it's still lopsided because it's mostly heels in here. Yeah. The only face team is Boss Hug and then a mashup of Naomi and Carmella, which Carmella was a heel 6 months ago. Right. And now all of a sudden she's teaming up with Naomi.
It should have been Asuka, but it's Asuka and Naomi because they were friends and they were being pushed together for a long time and whatever. And then they, I guess just because she got the belt, they switched the gears there. So, no, it's not going to end the show.
Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston, Randy Orton, Jeff Hardy. Men's Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Hemp title.
The Hemp title.
Anticipation.
9.
I'll help you.
Thank you. Oh, you're a 10. You bitch.
Both chamber matches are interesting to the point that I will watch them both. Even if you put the fuckers back to back, I will watch them both because the story built into this. Women's tag team championships for the women, and the fact that you are teasing the possibility, even if it's the slightest little bit, you made all that effort to make Kofi look as a contender, as someone that belongs in this chamber. Nobody expected Bray Wyatt to win the title coming out of that chamber match, and he pinned Cena to like get the whole thing.
Yeah.
So they could possibly do something. Or give it to Jeff. But not Orton. And not AJ. And if Brian wins it, cool.
Yeah, the one the one black hole in that fucking match is
Orton. Is AJ, yeah.
No,
it's Orton.
It's Orton. I'm kidding.
It's Orton. Yeah, it's Orton. He's just there because he has to be there. Vaginas need to be moistened.
And maybe less of a black hole, maybe more like a gray hole.
Styles.
No. Hardy.
Come on.
Hardy. Like, I mean, okay. Hardy's good. He's always been good. He's been over throughout the years. Is it even his farewell tour? Nobody's billing it as such, and he's definitely not winning it.
He's gonna fall off the wagon in 6 months anyway. Strike while the iron's still warm.
And if he wins it, okay, that's a weird move. That's not like, oh my god, they gave it to Kofi. It'd be like, gave it to Hardy? Oh, okay. But if Kofi wins, holy fuck. But it ain't gonna happen. So AJ, if AJ wins at this point, I'm like, AJ, huh?
Great. The only blemish that I had on the gauntlet match that I'm just now getting back to was,
let's see if Kofi even makes it to the chamber.
Oh shit, don't say that. typical WWE booking. Wasn't AJ supposed to be like the meanest motherfucker that's ever been? Ever since he got slapped by Vince McMahon?
Yeah, yeah.
Him to show compassion to Kofi felt weird. That I still remembered that part of the AJ storyline, that for me to see AJ make sure that this black guy on Black History Month still breathing, it kind of threw me off for a little bit of a loop. But then I ate the loop because they all tasted good, and I just kept watching the match. But I don't want to be that guy. I think for now, AJ needs to break from the title picture.
Yes.
Just like the Usos,
yes.
Just like the Bar,
yes.
Just like the New Day as a team,
yes.
I think AJ needs to take a step back and do something else for a bit.
Yes.
Which was why it was so refreshing to see Mustafa in there.
Yes.
So now it's even more refreshing that it's a horse in the race that I've been riding for a while with Kofi. So Gangnam Style. So my anticipation for this match is at a 10. Who I have winning, realistically, I have Brian holding on to this. But if Kofi wins it, I'm going to mark out like a motherfucker in front of all those people.
Hector, live chat, says this. Funny thought. If Kofi wins the title, will he change it into a title made out of pancakes?
That means you're going to have to make that belt every day. And you've got to carry around some syrup. You can't just have that shit by itself.
Goddamn.
Those fans that eat the pancakes like that at the arena when they catch them, number one, it's grossly underhygienic. And number two, you got nothing to dip it with?
You dipped it in Big E's sweat.
Ah! Who do you have winning this match?
Brian.
Okay, good. Overall, the whole kit and caboodle. Elimination Chamber. Live, right here in Houston, Texas.
Bang, bang. Well, I'm not going. I wish I was, but I'm not. I'm a little salty, but whatevs. I'm still going to watch it. I'm still going to enjoy it. My anticipated level is a 7.
Okay. If I do the math the way a good banker does, after adding all the numbers up and dividing it by 7, I think my number would be a 9. So I'm at a 9 for this pay-per-view.
Banker math.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looking forward to it. Hopefully it's full.
Hopefully. Hopefully. We know one asshole that'll be there.
Oh, shit, several.
Yeah.
But I hope it's full, man, because if it's as empty as that Raw was, then I don't want to hear anybody complaining that AEW isn't all that big a deal when they got more people at this show in Vegas than fucking Elimination Chamber did.
Yeah.
I believe that's a show.
Well, then. Oh, holy fuck. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Arigato.